All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say next, so here we go. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is, in fact, almost, but not quite, beginning of chapter 28. It's actually the end of chapter 27, and there's just two verses left when the Parsha Tetzaveh last week ended it. And it says this, "And you shall command," Tetzaveh, so there's the name of the Parsha, "you shall command the B'nai Israel," the children of Israel, "that they bring unto you pure beaten olive oil for the light, to cause the menorah, the lamp, to burn continually," or always. "And the tent of meeting," the ohel of meeting, "outside of which the veil is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall set it in order, to burn from evening to morning before Yahuwah. This it says," and here's this same wording that we're seeing fairly frequently, consistently, "it is a statute, a chuk, forever, throughout your generations, on behalf of the B'nai Israel." Now, from here, we're going to shift gears from the olive oil just a bit to primarily clothing. And this is kind of interesting. We're going to see what is called the priestly garments described in some detail. "Bring near to you, unto you, Aaron your brother," he says, "and his sons with him, from among all the B'nai Israel, that they may minister to me in the office of priest," or Cohen, "even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's four sons. And you shall make holy garments," or coverings, and the root word there is beged, "for Aaron your brother, for splendor and for beauty." And these words are kind of interesting. Splendor is le kabod, okay, so for kabodness, and for beauty. And that word is tzitzarah. Tiferet. There we go. Tiferet, for beauty. "And you shall speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to set him apart, to sanctify him, so that he may minister to me in the office of Cohen. And these are," in fact, "the garments you shall make." So here's the listing of the garments that Aaron will wear: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, a tunic of checkered work, a mitre, and a girdle. So eight things in total. "And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. They shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen. And they shall make first," it says, or at least this is the first thing described, "the ephod," or shoulder cape, as how some English learners put it, "out of gold and blue and purple, scarlet and fine twine linen, the work of the skillful workman. It shall have two shoulder pieces joined end to end thereof, so that it may be joined together. And the skillfully woven band which is upon it, wherewith it is used to gird it on, shall be like the work thereof, and of the same piece, made out of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. And you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the B'nai Yisrael." So two onyx stones, right? There's 12 sons of Israel, so you're going to have six names on each stone. Six on the one, six on the other, according to their birth. "With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shall you engrave these two stones, according to the names of the B'nai Israel. You make them to be enclosed in settings of gold. Now you shall put the two stones upon the two shoulder pieces of the ephod, the stones of memorial for the B'nai Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before Yahuwah upon his two shoulders for a memorial." Now, one of the things that I think is interesting here, notice that the word two appears over and over again, but wait, in about another dozen verses or so, we're going to see over and over and over again this reference to the number two. And it's so ubiquitous throughout here that I can't help but think there's something to it, and it almost eventually leaps off the page at us. And so I always ask, or at least think about it every year, what's the significance of two? Well, two has it's an interesting number. It certainly is a number that has a number of understandings in Scripture. But perhaps the thing that, at least this year to me, seems to be kind of clear is this understanding of the two wives, the two kingdoms, the two whoring women, the two sticks of Ezekiel. In other words, Aholah and Aholibah, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. There are two of them. And it seems like there is a lot of emphasis right now on that, because so many things that are coming to a head in the world. So maybe that's it, maybe not. But at least it looks like one possibility. Because notice that when we talk about two things, two stones, the names of of the tribes are divided into two stones. Now, it's not necessarily, of course, because we know that there are the 10 lost tribes that are in the northern kingdom, so it doesn't necessarily divide evenly, but certainly there is there's a significance there. All right, so we got these settings of gold, and we're going to make two chains of pure gold of plaited thread. You make them, wreathen work, put the wreathen chains on the settings, and then going to make a breastplate of judgment, the work of, what else? The skillful workman. That is referenced a number of times as well. Like the work of the ephod, you shall make it. Of glue and blue, gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen shall you make it. It'll be square. Four square shall be. A span the length of it and a span the breadth of it. And you set in it settings of stones. Now this time it's four rows of stones. A row of carnelian, topaz, and smaragd in the first row. Second row, a carbuncle, sapphire, and an emerald. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They're enclosed in gold in their settings. And the stones shall be, again, according to the names of the 12 tribes, children of Israel, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one according to his name, they shall be for the 12 tribes. You make upon the breastplate plated chains of wreathen work of pure gold, and then upon that breastplate two rings, also out of gold. Put those two rings on the two ends of the breastplate, and then you put, here comes a series of these twos here, two wreathen chains of gold on the two rings at the end of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains shall you put on the two settings. Put them on the shoulder pieces thereof in the ephod in the forefront. Then, forepart. Then you shall make two rings of gold. Put them upon the two ends of the breastplate on the edge towards the side of the ephod inward. And make two rings of gold. Put them on the two shoulder pieces of the ephod underneath in the forepart, closing the coupling thereof above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. So the idea is to bind the breastplate by these rings onto the rings of the ephod with a thread of blue, that it may be upon the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and the breastplate is not loosed from the ephod. So you can see this is kind of a one piece when it's done. We have the shoulder cape, the ephod, and then the breastplate that hangs in front in between. Aaron shall bear the names of the B'nai Israel and the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes into the holy place for a memorial before Yahuwah continually. And you shall put in the breastplate. Now these are some interesting things. We see these references several times in Scripture. A lot of times people think, well, what is this? The breastplate of judgment has these things called the Urim ve'Tumim, or and the Tumim. They shall be on Aaron's heart. When he goes in before Yahuwah, Aaron shall bear the judgment of the B'nai Israel upon his heart before Yahuwah continually. So what are they? And the question is, well, we don't really know, honestly. I guess you could say there's certainly a lot of mysticism, a lot of mystery that surrounds these things. And what is said of them is that somehow or other they were able to allow direct communication and responses with Yah. And it might have been that the stones would flash or would spell things out. There are lots of speculation as to how it worked, and some of it probably is informed speculation. But again, the truth is, at this point, maybe, arguably, we have lost the specifics. What we do know is that they were used, and that when they were consulted and the answer came, then it was always correct. You shall make, then, the robe of the ephod all out of blue. And it has a hole for the head in the midst of it. It has a binding of woven work round about the hole. So in other words, there's kind of a ring around the hole to prevent it from unraveling, as it were in the hole of a coat of mail, so that it is not rent. And upon the skirts you shall make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the skirts thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the skirts of the robe around about. And it shall be upon Aaron so that he can minister. And hang on just a second here. There we go. Back in the room. And the sound thereof, of these bells, shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before Yahuwah and when he comes out. And this is one of those warning sounds, I guess, so that he dies not. So that he does not die. Huh. So as long as the bells are ringing, I guess they know that Aaron is alive. Now there's, of course, and you may have heard this, there is a midrash and an associated understanding that says that when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies later on, during that time of Yom Kippur, once a year, they would tie a rope around him so that in case he didn't make it out and the bells quit ringing, they could literally drag him out of there without having to go in and get him and have somebody else die as well. You shall make then a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, okay, Kadosh Le Yahuwah. Kadosh Le Yahuwah. So you can picture this plate that has this engraving upon it, and put that on a thread of blue, and it's upon the mitre, and on the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and then it ends up when he puts on his head dressing, it's upon Aaron's forehead. Aaron shall bear the iniquity committed in the holy things, which the B'nai Israel shall hallow, even in all their holy gifts, it shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before Yahuwah. And you shall weave the tunic, or the coat, in checker work of fine linen, shall make a mitre of fine linen, and you shall make a girdle, the work of the weaver, in colors. And for Aaron's sons, you make tunics, and you shall make for them girdles, and head tires shall you make for them, for splendor and for beauty. So again, this concept of for splendor and for beauty. You shall put them upon Aaron your brother, and upon his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the office of Kohen, or Kohenim, plural. You shall make them linen breeches to cover their flesh of their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. And they shall be upon Aaron, upon all of his sons, when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not bear iniquity and die. This, it says, shall be a statute forever, huchat olam, unto him and unto his seed after him. Now, the next chapter seems to have to do with the ordination, or the process of putting the priest into office. This is the thing that you shall do to hallow them, he says, to minister to me in the office of Kohen. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened, mingled with oil, wafers unleavened, spread with oil, of fine wheaten flour shall you make them. Put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And then Aaron and his sons shall bring them unto the door of the tent of meeting, and shall wash them with water. You shall take the garments, put them on Aaron, the tunic, the robe, the ephod, the breastplate, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. Then you shall set the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then you shall take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head and anoint him. So we're going to cover, literally pour oil on him. You bring his sons, put tunics upon them. All right, now, by the way, if you've heard the term, you know the word Mashiach literally means anointed one. And so at this point, the term, of course, we use the term, the English rendering we've probably heard is Messiah, but it refers to one who is anointed. And in this case, it is clear, Aaron is anointed. You shall bring his sons, put tunics on them, and gird them with the girdles, Aaron and his sons, and bind head tires on them. They shall have the Kohenimship, the priesthood, by a perpetual statute, and you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. Then you bring a bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock. So we point this out. This idea of laying their hands on the head of the animal that is about to die is a consistent theme. Then you shall kill the bullock before Yahuwah at the door of the tent of meeting. Take of the blood of the bull, and put it upon the horns of the altar with your finger. Pour out all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. Take all of the fat that covers the innards, the lobe above the liver, the two kidneys, the fat upon them, and make them smoke upon the altar. But as for the flesh of the bullock, its skin and its dung, you shall burn that with fire outside the camp. It is what is called a chatat, a sin offering. And then you take the one ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands upon the head of the ram. And you shall slay the ram and take its blood, dash it round about the altar. And you shall cut the ram into pieces, wash its innards, its legs, put them with its pieces and with its head, and make the whole of the ram smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto Yahuwah. So the word here is olah, which literally means to be lifted up because the smoke goes up. It is a burnt offering unto Yahuwah, a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Then you take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands upon the head of that ram. And then you shall kill that ram, take of its blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, upon the tip of, and of his sons. So a lot of times we get them in a sequence, but in this case it says, put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe, the big toe, of their right foot, and dash the blood around the altar round about. So again, this is when the blood goes on, or the anointing goes on those three parts of the person being anointed, it's on the tip of the right ear, the right thumb, basically, and also the right big toe. Then you take the blood that's upon the altar and the anointing oil, sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon the garments of his son with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and he and his sons with him and his garments. And you shall take of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the innards, the lobe of the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon him, and the right thigh. This is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, one cake of oiled bread, one wafer, out of the basket of unleavened bread that's before Yahuwah. Then, put the whole thing in the hands, or upon the hands of Aaron, and upon the hands of his sons, and wave them for a wave offering before Yahuwah. And then take them out from their hands, make them smoke on the altar, upon the altar of burnt offering, for a sweet savor before Yahuwah. This is, it says, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. You shall take then the breast of Aaron's ram of consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before Yahuwah. This shall be your portion, it says. Your portion, the breast. Then you shall sanctify the breast of the wave offering, the thigh of the heave offering, which is waved, which is heaved up, the ram of consecration, even of that which is Aaron's, and of that which is his son's. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons as a due forever from the B'nai Yisrael. For it is a heave offering, it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, of their sacrifices, of shalomim, of peace offerings, even their heave offering unto Yahuwah. Now the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, to be anointed in them, to be consecrated in them. And this is always kind of fascinating, because we don't hear about cleaning the garments, but we do hear about lots of stuff, particularly blood, being put on these garments. And I'm sure there's a lot of oil that ends up on them as well. And it's amazing, you know, if you think about it, how they could probably have been used for centuries, if not longer. And who, priests, a high priest and others wore these garments over those many, many years. 7 days shall the son that is priest in his stead put them on, even he who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the Kadosh place, the holy place. Now, you shall take the ram of consecration and seethe its flesh in a holy place, and Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that's in the basket at the door of the tent of meeting. And they shall eat those things wherewith atonement was made to consecrate them, to sanctify them, but a stranger is not to eat of them, because they are set apart. They are Kadosh, the holy. So, if any of the flesh of the consecration or of the bread remains until morning, then you burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy, set apart. This you shall do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall do this. You shall consecrate them. And every day you shall offer the bull of the chatat, the sin offering, beside the other offerings of atonement. And you shall do the purification upon the altar when you make atonement for it. You shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you make atonement for the altar and sanctify it. Thus shall the altar be kadosh, kadosh, double kadosh here. Most holy is how English usually renders that, but the word is doubled there. Kadosh, kadoshim. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be set apart, is holy. Now, this is that which you shall offer upon the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. So this was to be done every single day. The one lamb you offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer at dusk. So you'll hear talk about the morning lamb and the evening lamb. With one lamb, a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour, mingled with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you offer at dusk, and you shall do thereto according to the meal offering of the morning. In other words, do the same thing. And according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of meeting before Yahuwah, where I will meet with you to speak with you there. And there will I meet with the B'nai Israel, and the tent, the Ohel, shall be sanctified, set apart by my glory. And I'll sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron also and his sons will I sanctify to minister to me in the office of Cohen. And I will dwell among the B'nai Israel, and I will be their Elohim. And here we go, the signature line. And they shall know, Ki Ani Yahuwah Eloheka, that I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh their El, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. Ani Yahuwah Elohekem. The last chapter in the portion starts this way. And you shall make an altar to burn incense on it. Of acacia wood you shall make it. Okay, a lot of stuff that's in these holy places made with acacia wood, and usually it's covered with gold. So we're going to see here that it says a cubit is the length of it, a cubit the breadth of it. So basically it's not huge, it's about 18 inches square. The horn shall be of one piece with it, so it's all of a unit. Overlay it with pure gold, the top, the sides, round about, and the horns thereof, and you shall make unto it a crown of gold round about. Two golden rings you make for it under the crown thereof, upon the two ribs thereof, on the two sides shall you make them. There shall then be places for staves, or carrying sticks, if you will, wherewith to bear it. And you shall make the staves out of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. So again, they're made out of acacia wood and then covered with gold, so that when they're done, they look like gold poles. You shall put it before the veil that's by the ark of the testimony, before the ark cover that's over the testimony where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn on this altar incense of sweet spices every morning. When he dresses the lamps, the menorah, he shall burn it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at dusk, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense before Yahuwah throughout your generations. And you're not to offer any strange incense on it, nor any other burnt offering, nor meal offering, and you are not to pour any drink offering on this altar. And then it says this. So here's the final verse in the portion. Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of this altar once a year. Now we know that day is the day that is called the Day of Atonement, of course, or Yom HaKippurim, or Yom Kippur. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, once in the year shall he make atonement for it throughout your generations. It is Kadosh Kedoshim, Holy of Holies, right? The same word appears in a number of places. Most holy unto Yahuwah.